What a mighty God we serve. What a flow. Isn't that wonderful? That's where it is. This is exactly where He wants us to be right there. I tell you, Pastor Ron, God tell you, I can tell you right now, I understand what you're talking about. A couple of months ago, Yvette came over to me and she said, Pastor, I had this dream. I said, you did? Yeah, she says, you know, right outside, it looks like it was raining and the water was just all over the streets. When we got in there, it was like right down to the ankle. And across the street, it got deeper. And across the street, I saw the Spanish people, they were all swimming in the water. I said, you did, huh? She said, yeah, what does that mean? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, listen, you can't help it. It's attached to you now.
Yes, Jesus.
That's it. It's attached to you.
Glory to God.
It's attached to you. You can't help it.
Yes, Jesus.
It's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
As a matter of fact, it's happening already.
Already.
That's what I was trying to tell you. You guys, get this thing out. However you want. Just get the cameras. Just capture it. Capture it. I'm serious. Capture it.
Yes, Jesus.
I can tell you by confession, testimony. We used to just send some tapes out. People used to drive from Massachusetts to the church. To drive from Massachusetts to New York. They got to come to Massachusetts, come to Connecticut, come to New York. Church. Because this spirit, they can't find it. They can't find it. You have it. But you don't know what it is. Because that's all you know. And you don't know. That's all you know. That's it. And they come in, they sit down, they just weep and cry all the while. Why the man's, why the preachers preach? They're just weeping and crying. They don't. Their spirit is so happy. They're just weeping and crying, being healed. They don't know what it, they don't know what it is, but they can't get away from it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
So that's what I'm trying to tell you. It captures this thing and just for the fun of it, mail it here, drop it there. We used to drop it at the, what do you call that place where they wash the clothes? Somebody just leave it there. Laundromat. They come running to the church. I never heard this. And this is what I'm trying to say to you. You don't know what you got. You don't know the unadulterated word. The power of it. Uncompromised. Can't be bought. Can't be sold. Is alive here. You see? That's what I'm trying to say to you. That's why you just have to go as far into God as you just want to go and pull out everything and show it to this dying world.
Yes, Jesus.
I said, listen, you can have this too.
Thank you.
Come, follow me. I'll show you. I'm going to point you in a direction, but you got to go get it yourself. That's why we preach the way we preach. Because you can't pay for it. You can't sell it. You got to do it for them. For their sake. Amen. Because you've already got it. It's out of you. Just coming out of you. So hear what the Lord is saying to you just by this little exhortation. That's all. Because people are dying out there. What a mighty God we serve.
Thank you,
Father. Amen?
Hallelujah.
How many are having a good time?
Yes.
Okay. We learned something less today, but I forgot. Christy Christ. That's right. We learn how to call ourselves. We know how to, who we are. We need to know who we are. That was the night before. And last night was substitution. The work that He did for us. That's right. The substitution work He did for us. How our substitute. We're the man. We're the one He called to run this game. We're the one He called to play this game. He's the one we called to fight this battle. I mean, to be involved in this game. You know what I mean? But the substitute got off the bench and came in and did it and sat down again. And He said, now you guys continue to play. You're just a substitute. And I want you to remember what we said. That basically it's like if you're on that winning team, whether it's Super Bowl or whatever that ring is, whatever, every benefit of that of the winning team, you're entitled to it. And that's what we are. We're entitled to every benefit of it. And we can't help it. Whether you want to do it or not. It's like the man, I want you to understand what I'm saying, because it's like that man who bought his ticket on a boat, and he bought his ticket for he and his family. He bought some groceries, a little thing, some food, and he took it into his room in the boat, and he put it in the And he said, this is what we have. The trip is this long, and this is what we're going to have to eat this and going to do that. So he began to tell the family how much they're going to eat and how they're going to ration what they have. He got on the boat, and he went out to sea. It was a cruise. And he's there on the boat and taking care of his family. You eat this, you eat that. And he come out, he meet all this food out there. He's figuring, we don't have enough money to pay for this food. So we got to go back in the room. It was the last day when he came back. He says, we don't have enough. The guy said, all the food on this boat has always been free because you bought your ticket. But he didn't understand. And that's how some of us are in where we're operating. We don't know. It's freely given to us because of where we're operating. Once you bought the ticket, you're on it. It's all yours. You just go up there and grab a plate. Eat as when you want, how you want, and as much as you want. So what he's trying to deal with is our mindset. He's trying to deal with the way we think, the way we speak, the way we operate, the way we carry ourselves. That's what we can have, what God says we can have. See, we are who he says we are. And he really means it. He can do what he says he can do. Therefore, we can do what he says we can do.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And today we want to take a step further. Amen? We want to look at our confession. What is our confession? What are we saying? What are we saying? Our confession. The words that come out of our mouth. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And the words that come out of your mouth, they are spirit and they are life. Because if I say to you right now, dog, there's an image in the word. Even though you don't see it, it's an invisible image. But in your mind, you see a dog. Right now, I say dog. But when I say brown dog, all of a sudden the picture gets a little clearer. If I say a brown German shepherd, now the picture gets real sharp. I said a brown male German shepherd. Oh, you really know what that looks like. I said the tail is clipped. You know how they clip the little tail? Oh, it really gets sharper because the words has power. It has an image. It has a vision. And now it gets clearer and clearer. I said a mad, real mad brown. You see that? Now you begin to understand how powerful your words have. Are you with me, church? You see the power that are in your words. And the devil knows that. He knows the power that are in your words and the image and the picture and the spirit of it. So your confession, God wants to know, what are you saying? Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says here, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know what we're thinking right now. We're thinking in the Catholic mode. If we confess our sin, okay, run down to Pastor Brunchrist and tell him, listen. Pastor, I was saying something nasty. No, that's not what he's talking about. That's just one side of it. That's the powerless side of it. That word confess, in the Greek, is homologio. Homo means the same. Logio from the word logos, divine word. Same divine word. If we say the same divine word over our sins or our weaknesses, guess what? He is faithful to cleanse us and to deliver us from whatever situation we have at hand. Come on, church. Are you with me? We're not just tied into, I slipped last night, I fell last night, I drank some beer, I got drunk, I yell out. No, 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 no. He's talking about, what are you really saying? If we confess our sins, homologio, if we say the same word, that the divine words, logos, the same words. Are you with me? If we say the same divine word, do you know what's logos? Isn't that the word? That's the word of God. Homologio. If you say the same divine word, you know God is faithful to watch over his word to perform it. If we say the same word over our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us or to remove it and to cleanse us of all. That unrighteousness is the result of it, of the sin. The result of it is like the burden. The burden remover, the burden of it. Christ became the propitiation of our sins. He became the separator or the burden that needs to be removed. That burden is the cause of it. That burden is the cause of the sin. That removal is what Christ became for us. So he became the separator. Hallelujah. And God wants us to come to a place because you can't confess something you don't know personally. You have to know personally. You have to know it personally, especially when it comes to Christ. You have to know. You can't confess or witness something you don't personally know about what's happening or what has happened to you. How can you confess something that you don't know? How can you declare something? How can you witness something that you don't know? It's not possible. So what? The secret of our confession, the secret of the things we proclaim, the secret and what you call the dominating power of faith, the secret of that dominating power that comes out of your mouth, comes out of your spirit, comes with life, comes that will drive, that will bring the breakthrough, is to know what Christ has actually already done for you. You must know exactly what He's already done for you. And once you know exactly what He's already done for you, you must know exactly who you are in Him. Also, now you're getting yourself situated because you know what He has done for you. You know He did it for you, and you know you are in Him. Are you with me, church? And you must also know what His Word promised you. So if you know what Christ has done for you, you know who you are in Him, and you know what His Word or the promises of His Word that belongs to you are, you can stand with the dominating faith and say, I declare this is mine, and you can't take it away. Because what? It belongs to me. It belongs to me. It's mine. You can't do anything about it. Because you must know what Christ has done and what He has done in you. That's when it settles, when that thing is not in you. Because many of us have heard what Christ has done for us. We've heard that we're in Him, and we heard the promises of Him, of the Word of God, but it's not, there's no work of what Christ has done on the inside of us. And there's a difference. Not because you heard it, that means it's yours. Oh, come on. Listen, if you take a picture with a camera, click it. What you took is a picture of what you saw. But what's on the picture is the negative of what the positive is. Are you with me? You know those old cameras. I'm not talking about these instant things you have. But it's a negative in here on the camera. It's not the same. It's the opposite of what you saw. But it's the negative of what you saw. So you have to take that, go into the dark room, and begin to develop what you saw. And when you develop that, comes the positive back from the negative. Are you with me, church? And this is exactly what Christ is saying. It must have been done on the inside of you. So what you saw, what you heard, and Christ have done this, that image is a picture. It's an image. It's an image. But it has to be developed in the dark room. It has to be developed in your time of prayer. It must have been developed in your time of confession. Then you can produce the negative. Then you can produce the positive. When you speak, then you know you have the picture on the image coming forth. Because what? It has been done. That's exactly what you know when you have the dominating faith of God. And that's what He's bringing you. For you to walk in this place, for you to operate in this place, you must be able to take that picture that Christ has done this work for you, that you know who you are in Him. Are you with me, church? And you know what the promises are for you, and that picture that you know what we're saying, that you can have what you say, you can, you, what He has done for you is already yours. That picture, that image is only what you saw. But now you have to take that picture and develop it. Hallelujah. I said that's you have to develop it. And then you can come out of the dark room. Here it is. Here is the positive. And let me tell you something. It's better you do it now than later. Because I can tell you something. Some people know exactly what I'm talking about. Because not because you go to the shopping window, you see the dress or the handbag, and you say, "Oh, it's beautiful. Wow, I'm gonna come back when it's on sale." And you come back, it's not in the window, so you go back in the store, you find it's not on sale. It's such a hot item, to mark it up. It'd be marked up. I know exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Years ago in the 80s, somebody offered me, "You see that little spot over there?" "Yes, it was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Want to buy it?" $60,000. I said, "Nah, it's too much money. No. What am I going to do with that little dinky, dinky little place? $60,000, too much money." You know, a couple of years later, 2001, I went back to have fixed it up. I said, "What is the..." The guy said, "We make $1 million a year." I said, "Oh my God. Jesus. You make $1 million a year?" "Yeah, we make $1 million a year." I said, "The guy offered me this place. I was living right over there. He offered me this place." You see what I'm saying? Because of inflation, it costs you more to get it tomorrow, and you can get it now. Are you with me, church? Oh, come on now. I said, now is the time to get it, because you must know what Christ has done for you. You must know what the Word promised you. You must know what belongs to you. You must know who you are on the inside of Him, because Satan is defeated. But the Word... To admire what the Word says about you. To admire what the promises are for you. And not do it robs you of everything that God has done for you. It robs you. I can tell you something. I like what he said the other day. Pastor Bron Christ. You got to call him Pastor Bron Christ, because that name got to settle on the inside of him. Amen? I tell you what he said the other day. He said, listen to me. You remember this preacher? He went out. He says, I'm sick. And this and that. And he says, listen, you go get healed. When you get healed, come and follow me. Come on. That's what it was based on. Paul left him. He left him and moved on. Left the sick man and moved on. Because what? It's for all of us. It robs you of everything because we're not doing it. And then we come and we begin to confess something totally different. And that's not what he said. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 first for a minute. And verse 1. I want us to read that together. Are you there, church?
Yes.
1, 2, read. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. That's right. All devils and come on, one more time. And you see, many of us forget that part, that he gives power over all and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. Now, I know what we think of diseases, the one you go to the hospital with. No, it's a dis-ease, double word. It's a compound word. That you see a dis and ease? Anything that is a dis-ease is a disease. So you don't have to go and take a medical pill for it, but he gave you power to cure that. Any little thing that gives you trouble, you got a rebellious son, rebellious daughter. Are you with me, church? They don't need a pill. He's giving you power to deal with that thing that is afflicting them, that caused them to misbehave and manifest in that realm. Amen, church? Let's turn to 10:19. Let's go there. 10:19. Behold, let's read that one more time. 10:19. 1, 2, read. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall That's right. And this is what he's trying to get us to understand, the work that he's doing, Christ, the work that Christ did, that we know who we are in him, the promises, and the finished work on the inside of us. That makes the difference between you and the one who's admiring. It's the finished work that has been done on the inside of you by the work that Christ did, by the position you have in him. Amen? And the promises that you have received on the inside of you, and you know it belongs to you, that finished work makes the difference of it all on the inside of you. That you know that you have power and authority over all the work, and diseases are cured. It is settled on the inside of you, right? And by no means shall you ever fear, because nothing shall by any means hurt you. Smith Wigglesworth told him, Lester? Lester said, send that devil down to my room. Are you listening to me, church? Because he knows exactly what to do with him. That devil wouldn't even come near his room. Because he knows that guy knows something, and there's a finished work on the inside of Lester. So there's a finished work that must be accomplished on the inside of you, church. You can't do anything about it, because that's where your promises are. That's where your victory is. And that's where you know by any means nothing. Every victory belongs to you. That means you can do all things when that finished work is done on the inside of you. That you know what's in your knower. That work is done. And when you know what's in your knower, when you stand, the dominating faith will come in full force out of you. Just like when you said, mad brown male German Shepherd. You see the picture of that dog salivating, ready to bite you. Hallelujah, Jesus. What are we confessing? Where are we going, church? When you understand that finished work on the inside of you, you begin to have a talk that is an automatic talk, a talk of heaven. Come on. You begin to speak the language of heaven. you'll be able to stand and say, my government in heaven tells me to tell you, listen to me, son, all that is finished. Because you are the ambassador now. You don't belong here. Are you with me, church? Your mind is different. You don't belong here. You think different because of the work that's done on the inside of you. They're telling you one story. They're telling you, those unbelievers are telling you the story of fear and unbelief and doubt. You're telling them something different. You said, that thing you're talking over there is not what's happening over here. Mm. What you're talking over there is not what's happening over here. Because what's happening over here is what is possible, and what is possible is possible. Over there, what you're telling me, I can't do it. God says, I can do it. It's the finished work that's occurring on the inside of you. That's why you worship God. That's why you pray. That's why you read the word. You say, I can do this thing. This is why you hold on when they say it is not possible. You say, it shall be possible. And you stay with God. You stay with his word until it comes to pass. Well, I don't see anything happening. So what? You may just be in a different season, but that doesn't mean that nothing's happening. I mean, during the winter season, you look at the trees, there's not one leaf on it. What are you going to say? There's no leaf. All snow all over the place. Not one green leaf. You say, my God, nothing's happening. I'm dead. I'm finished. Oh, my God. That tree can tell you something. I'm living. That tree will tell you, I'm alive. I'm living. I'm prospering. I'm holding it back because the time is coming that I'm going to turn it loose and you're going to have fruit again. That, it doesn't mean that because you don't see it. It's the finished work that is done on the inside of you, church, that makes you different. Hallelujah. It must be settled in you that God has exalted you. Christ whipped the guy, put him under your feet. And I want to tell you, as you sit here today, look at your feet. Satan is under your feet. And you know what I like to say? I like to say, I got my foot on his neck. And when you got the foot on the neck of your enemy, you're in perfect peace. That's exactly where he belongs. Hallelujah, church.
Hallelujah.
You are a peculiar people. You're not ordinary. You're not religious. I can prove it to you. You're not religious. Every religion worships something outside. Your God is inside. Everyone, Buddha, outside. Muhammad, outside. Shinto, outside. Taoists, outside. Wherever they are, they're all outside. They're worshiping another creation. Are you with me, church? You don't have a religion. You're in a family. That's why when you learn what the finished work is done, your talk changes. I said your talk, the way you talk change. The way you walk change. The way you see things change. He's on the inside. When he starts speaking to you, he says, I don't believe what you're saying. My God is telling me something else. I know what I'm saying. One time there was a guy came to church. He came and he had this thing and we prayed for him and everything. He came back again. He says, You know what? He's coming and begging. You know how that is? They always come and beg the preachers. Oh, you guys don't have any yet. I will have them. They always come beg the preachers. Always an emergency. So he come and he's begging. I'm not saying don't help them. Don't tell. Don't get me wrong. But I'm about to climb up the stairs because we're up in the upper room. And I'm climbing up the stairs. And he's down there. He's talking. And as soon as I look at him, the Holy Ghost spoke to me right away. He says, he's jobbing you. Now, back home where I'm from, in Liberia, when you say jobbing, which means they're running a trick on you. They lie. They're jobbing. They're working a job on you. Amen? So right away he said, he's jobbing you. I look at him. I started laughing. I said, you know what the Holy Ghost just told me? You're jobbing me. And the Holy Ghost, I'm the only one who knows that word called jobbing. And the Holy Ghost knows that I know that word called jobbing. Do you know what jobbing means? He says, no. I said, you're working a number on me, buddy. I'm not going to give you anything. Because of the finished work. Are you with me, church? The Holy Ghost wants to work with you. He wants to speak with you. He wants to tell you these things. Because you're different now. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 really means what it says. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. All things are. What are the old things? The jobbing, the lying, the sickness, the disease. Those things that you were under the curse of. Come on, church.
Those things that when your daddy Adam and Eve sold you into slavery, you became slave of the enemy, and you became slave, you been working, and he was a hard taskmaster. Anything that you want, he cursed you, he beat you up, he put sickness on you, they stoned you, they did everything that was possible against you. That was passed away. It has been passed away. It's over. It's over. Now you are the boss. I said you are the master. But we must understand what it means to be a master. You must know everything about what it is to be a master. That's the finished work. Hallelujah. When we understand what the finished work is, we act different. Hallelujah. We must learn to boldly confess or speak the same divine promises. Come on, church. That has been given to us. That's what confession is. It's a witness. I know this. This is what God is saying. Let me give you an example. They call you up. You know, your loved one is in a hospital. So you get to the hospital. Because of the finished work, you say, I'm going to that hospital. Things are never going to be the same. I'm going to that hospital. When I get there, things are going to change. I'm going to that hospital. The very atmosphere in that room is going to be different. I'm going to that hospital. I'm determined to break something up in the name of Jesus. I'm going to that hospital. And when I get there, things will be different. I'm going to that hospital. You are speaking things into the spirit realm. You're preparing the realm of the spirit and things to change by the time you get there. So when you get there, you say, let me tell you something, loved one, let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know one thing. He that is in me has determined that you are healed. Therefore, I break your power and I lay hands on you. He said this and he said that and he said this and he said that and he said this and he said that. Therefore, I cast it forth in the name of Jesus. Now, sweetheart, rise up. Rise up. Come on, sit up. Come on, get out of the bed. Sit up. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Come on, come on, come on, stand up. Rise up and be healed. Rise up and move. Rise up. Come on, come on. In the name of Jesus, be made whole.
Hallelujah.
I've seen that. I've seen that. I want you to know that. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It's the finished work, church. We cannot just admire these things. It doesn't satisfy anymore. And that, when you begin speaking that language of heaven, you know what your big brother did, Jesus. And that's our brother. We must speak like he did. Are you with me? Listen, if you got to fake it, fake it, fake it, fake it until you get it. But speak it. The enemy doesn't know until you start to doubt. Are you with me? Until you begin to doubt it. But he doesn't know what's coming out of you until you begin to doubt it. But if you speak it with power and that dominating faith, guess what? It comes to pass. It comes to pass. And this is where he's bringing us. Because what? It is the time. It is the season for his church to arise. It's the time and the season for his church to arise. Not only in praise and worship. But in everything we do, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's consulting, whether it's a nurse, whether it's advisor, whether you're sweeping the floors, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a home attendant, it doesn't matter. That finished work must be done on the inside of you, church. It is very vital right now. It is vital right now because we must know who we are and the difference that he called us to know. The difference is that we know, and because we know, we can get the devil to know that we know it's over. I want you to really catch this because it makes the difference. When you know, and you can get the devil to know that you know, when you know, and you can get the devil to know that you know, the work is complete in you. It's finished in you. You know who you are in Christ. The promises that belong to you. And this particular promise belongs to me. You are master of him. You can execute that office of being a master over him. That's the difference. But many in the church don't know. We must know. There got to be a time that is settled. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1 for a minute. Drop into verse 9. It says here, For this cause also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what His will is. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness. Are you saying the church? Deliver us from the power of darkness and has what? Translated. I want you to say translated. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. I want you to say redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. The thing about it is, He took us out from under Satan's rule, and He pulled us out from under Satan's rule, and He put us in a place. And He says, now, I have given you redemption. That means to say, the price that was on your head has been paid for. You no longer belong to Him. You belong to Me. Therefore, anything that He wants to put on you does not exist. Years ago, honey, I got to tell this one. Sorry. Years ago, I needed some money. We're doing some business. I said, you know what, sweetheart? I'm a great businessman, full of wisdom. You know, so I'm going to do this deal. Give me your ring. I'm going to pawn it and get some money. She said, that's my ring. I said, okay. Put the ring in the pawn shop. Took the money out. Couldn't get the money back to get the ring because the deal didn't work. So, I couldn't. But let me tell you something. There's a guy called Jesus. We were that ring put in the pawn shop. Christ came and He paid the price. And you know, He took that ring. Now, who paid the price takes the ring, doesn't it? Hello? The guy who pays for the money owns the ring, doesn't it? So, Christ came and He paid the price. And we were that ring in prison, in debt. Are you with me, church? With sin all over, mark price all over. You have to pay, you have to pay, you have to pay. You can't do. And this is what it was. And Christ came and He paid for that ring. We were that ring, church. And He paid for that ring. He took that ring. And the guy who paid the price owns the ring. So He owns that ring now. And there is no condemning sentence against that ring because it has been paid for completely. You have been paid for completely. There is no way that guy who had the ring can now come and put another charge on you. Come on, church. He cannot come and put another charge on that ring, which has not been paid for. That's what Christ did. He went into that guy's company and pulled out, paid the price, came out and shut the ring and said, now you're free. You belong to Me. Hallelujah. It has been paid for. Redemption is yours. Forgiveness of sin is yours. There's nothing on that ring, on you and on I, that can come from that kingdom and stick unless we allow it to stick. That's what He did. My God, do you understand that kind of work He did? And that was our substitute. No longer exists. So, you know what belongs in that guy's kingdom? Sickness, disease, poverty, pain, doubt, confusion, vexation, all of that stuff belongs here. But when Christ brought you over here, everything ceased. Everything just stopped. But we have to know that it stopped. That it stopped at that line. We have to know. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 41 for a minute. Verse 10. I know you know that scripture, but let's read it because I like to read it. You know, faith comes by hearing. 41 and 10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of My righteousness. That's what Christ said. Let's move on to Romans chapter 8, verse 31 for a minute. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against you? Hallelujah. God before us, who can be against us? See, if we can just know. There's got to be a finished work on the inside of us. Do you know something on ordination day? I remember I was standing in front of Pastor Day. He says something like this. He said, what name would you want to be written on your tombstone? What a day, huh? On your gravestone. So I tell him. And he says, because of the finished work that the Holy Ghost has done on the inside of you, I want to tell you something. There must be a finished work that the Holy Ghost must do on the inside of you. I don't care who you are. You don't have to be a fivefold minister. You know what I like about that 11-hour man? Jesus went out the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, the 9th hour. Yeah, you remember that story? Something was finished on the inside of that guy. Something was done on the inside of him that it took 1 hour of his pay, 1 hour of his job. He got the same pay for the guy who worked all day long. Something was complete on the inside of that man. And you must be the 11-hour man. You call. This is the 11th hour of Christ coming. 1 hour of your time with the sick. 1 hour of the time with those tearing up each other. 1 hour of your time. My God. 1 hour of your time. Sometimes I'm driving the car, all that, I say, hallelujah, glory be to God, Lord. Almighty Jesus, mighty God. I've been saying all kinds of crazy things. You know why? Because I don't want to be dealing with issues. I want to be dealing with answers. Are you with me, church? I want to be dealing with solutions. I want to be dealing with depressions. I want to be dealing with, I don't care. Sometimes some things come out of my mouth. I don't know it came out. But it doesn't matter to me. What I'm trying to say to you is, I don't want to be dealing with mountains. I want to be destroying mountains. I don't want to be dealing with problems. I want to be destroying problems. Are you with me, church? That's what we're trying to say to you today, church. You are the answer that the world needs. What are you confessing? What are you saying, church? What are you saying to the world? 1 John chapter 4. Let's go there. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I want you to say, I've overcome them. That's right. He brought you out. You overcome them. He says, because what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now make this personal. I am of God. Come on, church. Of God. And I have overcome them. And greater is he that is in me than it that is in the world. That's right, church. That's right. We can't admire these things. We must have them on the inside. We can't just admire them. Things must change because there's nothing wrong. You can walk around all day and say, God is working on the inside of me. God is changing things. Oh, God is working on it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Greater is he that is in me than he is in that interview that I'm going to. Greater is he that is in me than he is in that situation that I'm walking into. I'm walking into it and the atmosphere will change. You see it happen. You will see it happen. You will see it happen. I was saying some things one time in my car. I parked there. I went up to the elevator. There was a guy standing there smoking. He put the cigarette, put it behind his back. And I look at him long time. I say, oh, glory be to God. He couldn't stand in my presence with a cigarette. Standing and smoking at his place before he could get into the elevator, he put the cigarette out. Because when I got there, he put the cigarette behind him, his back. What came into that presence? The words that were coming that was all saturated over my head. Are you with me, church? Have you walked into a room and you said, those people talking about me? How do you know they're talking about you? Over their heads are the words, the gossip words that they were speaking about you. Are you with me, church? Yeah. Come on now. Anybody walk in the room and say, those people have been speaking about me. Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You walk into a room, you say, look at them. They're talking all about me now. How did you know? In the spirit, your spirit has picked up the words and have seen them. Now, think about yourself. Walking down the avenue with those words of God, those words of power, those words of life, those words coming with you. The words of God, the words of life, the words of power coming down the street with you. Because you just charge. You just got an atmosphere that is different from the atmosphere that is around. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have to turn him loose. Listen, many of us are facing problems, issues. We got problems. We got bills we can't pay. We got situations that just coming against our heads. We got complaints with this one, complaints with that one. The phone is ringing. Situations, everything seems to be an emergency. But you know what you can do? The words that are coming out of your mouth must change those situations, church. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about sitting down here and sympathizing. You can't go to the hospital and sympathize with somebody. You know what you just did? It's like that image what you saw last night. That image you saw. Here's the word of God. Here's the problem. And you're sympathizing with the problem. You're holding on to, oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'll cry with you. Come on, church. You are causing more of a problem. You can't sympathize. You just went on the wrong side of things. You never sympathize with the devil. You never sympathize with the problem. You come against the problem with the word of God. Never sympathize. Don't go there. Don't tell him I understand. I don't understand. I don't want to understand. If you got a preacher come to you, take, I understand, put him out. By the time he's done with you, you say, you know what? If God will, if God's willing, you ever heard this kind of prayers of doubt and unbelief? Yeah, if God's willing, I'll pray, but if God's willing, you say, no, don't pray, get out. Don't understand, church. Don't understand.
Hallelujah.
I said, don't understand.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 23, verse 5. Listen to this. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the midst of the bills, the foreclosure, the disclosure, the open, whatever it is, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Father, I'm delivering this thing to you and your word, and you shall watch over it and perform it. You will turn it around. I know you will turn it around because I'm not afraid. Chapter 27, verse 1. Here it is. The Lord is my light and what?
My salvation.
That word salvation is not only to get saved going on your way to heaven. It's your healing. It's your deliverance. It's your protection. It's your peace. It's your safety. Are you with me? It's your protection. The Lord is my light and my protection, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? If God be for me, who shall be against me? That's what we're talking about. You must know the work is finished on the inside of you. He didn't die in vain. And it's that finished work. You're holding on to the word of God and you're breaking it down. You're constantly breaking it down. Well, I don't see no leaves on the tree. Don't worry about it. Just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. Just keep releasing it. Just keep releasing the spirit. Just keep releasing the atmosphere. Just keep pressing in. Just keep pressing in. All of a sudden you will see, it's over. Don't stop, church. Don't stop. You're victorious. The devil is afraid of you. But you must know. That's the only thing that makes the difference. You must know. Let's look at one. Philippians chapter 4 and 13. Let's take a look at that. Philippians 4:13. Hallelujah. It tells us here, I can do Hallelujah. Hey, you got it. Come on, church. Let's go. One, two, read. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. You can do it. You can do it. If you continually press into God, if you continually see things the way He sees it, if you continue, no matter what it looks like, no matter what, how bad it seems, there's nothing can happen. There's no way you're going to break through. Listen, if you can just continuously see things, you can just continuously know things, just continue to grab the Word of God and just go at it and just go at it. Something will begin to change on the inside of you. And as you confess that you know who you are and you confess the promises of God and you begin to know the work is finished and you have been totally paid for. You are that ring that has no more attachment to it. So when that sickness tries to come on your body, you got the right to say, Satan, I want to tell you something. I know something that you need to know, that I want to tell you this thing, that those days that I was under you, you could put this thing on me, but I have been translated over here. So this pain that is bothering me, I want you to know it doesn't belong on this side of glory. It belongs on that side of glory. Therefore, I cast you out and you can't come back here anymore. And from this day forward, I want you to understand, I am your master. I am your master. You must obey me when I speak to you. So go forth in Jesus' name. But you must know within your knower that where what your promises are, what your position is, what Christ has done for you, what has been accomplished for you, and what a position He has given you. And then you know what He's going to do? He's going to confirm His word. Yes. He's going to confirm His word that you spoke. It's called confession. Homologio. If you speak the same word, the divine word, He's got to. But you must know. And the only difference that the enemy knows is that you know. If you don't know, he's going to take advantage of you. And you're going to be saying, my cancer. My toothache. That ache didn't come from God. It doesn't belong to you. Oh, my wife can tell you. Last year we went to the doctor to get our physical. They put this machine on me. The guy told me, oh, you had a heart attack. I said, I did. He said, yeah. I said, I had a heart attack. He said, yeah. I said, not so. No, sir. We went outside. We sat down on the steps. Began listening to the Holy Ghost. I started to laugh. I said, the devil is another liar. You know that? He's a liar. I never had a heart attack. Can you imagine if I say, oh, yes, I did. When? When was it? Oh, show me the date. Let me remember. Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. I had a heart attack. Oh, what do you want me to do now? Oh, we're going to have open heart surgery on you. I mean, can you believe that? No, sir. I didn't have one. I don't intend to have one. I would never have one. Because you know something? This body, I've already spoken over this body. That no, there will be no incision on it. If there's got to be a healing, Christ is going to come and He's going to heal it Himself. I did not have a heart attack, sir. I did not. But you must learn to boldly confess, speak the word of God, church. That's the only way things are going to change. Because the enemy, he knows he's nobody. But you know what he thinks? You don't know. And because you don't know, he said, I'm going to take advantage of you. That's what he's trying to do. Take advantage of you. But I want you to tell you a little secret. Jesus bore our sins. Pain, he took it away. The iniquity, he took it away.
Hallelujah.
He paid the price. The infirmities. And by his stripes, he took it on his body. His own body. His own self. Took all. Now, he didn't forget any of them. He took it all. He took it away. He left us free from it. And we must honor that. We must honor that. He left us free from it. And set us free. So when you stand in the physical, in the presence of the physical pain, the physical situation, the physical circumstance, and that circumstance and that situation is screaming at you. Screaming at you. Don't believe it. Believe what His Word says. Believe what His Word says. Let's turn our Bibles for a minute to Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. We're going to start in verse 1. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now remember, he's a high priest. And the high priest's office was to do a lot of intercession, wasn't it? Yeah. For the people. He's our high priest. That profession means the way you speak. And it goes in verse 2. He says, "Who is faithful?" I want you to say he's faithful. Amen. "Who is faithful to him that appointed him?" Also, Moses, as also Moses was faithful in his house. So we know that this man is faithful. We know there's faithfulness going on here. We know that there's intercession going on here. So when you stand and you begin to talk, you must understand there is somebody who is your intercessor. Standing up there, listening and waiting. From the time you start, even though the circumstance is here speaking at you, yelling at you, screaming at you, creating an emergency when there's none. Creating a circumstance or situation that demands some kind of attention. You just know that there's a guy, your intercessor. From the moment you start speaking, he begins to listen to your word. And all he does, he takes you. He takes your prayers. He takes your circumstance and takes it to the Father. And when he takes it to the Father, look at chapter 10, verse 3. Verse 23. Let's go into Hebrews 10 and look at verse 23. He says, "Now, during that time," he says, "let us hold fast the profession of our faith without," what? I can't hear you. "Without wavering. For he is faithful," that promise. He's not going to change. In between the time that you're going through the challenges, the testings, the trials, you're going through these things, hold on. I said, church, hold on. I want you to say, hold on. You see, you got to know how. When you learn how to drive a car, you just don't drive a car. You learn how to drive the car. You know when to speed up, when to slow down. You know when to cruise. Amen. You know when to pick up. Now, this is the workings of what you know and what has been done on the inside of you. Now, in that working of it, when all this thing is going on, you say, "Okay, I don't believe you. So just if you want to shut up, shut up. You don't want to shut up, that's your problem. But I'm turning you off. I'm turning to Christ, and I'm going to listen to what he says, and I'm going to hold on, I'm going to hold on, I'm going to hold on, because I know this guy is faithful. Something is working. He is doing something. I don't see anything, I don't feel anything, I don't hear anything, but I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to hold on, and I'm going to hold on." And you just continue to hold on, because the Bible says he is faithful, that promise. In other words, that promise is on slow cook when you start. You ever go home and mama's cooking? He said, "Mama, why the fire so low? Didn't you see I'm hungry?" She's cooking. The pot is on. But it's just, she got that low flame. You say, "Mama, what's wrong with this woman? Can't you tell I'm hungry? Turn the flame up higher." "No, it wouldn't taste right." So she just keep it on slow cook. And because it's on slow cook, it's cooking. Come on, church. I said, it's cooking. It's cooking. And it's cooking. And you forget. You go to your room. By the time you can turn around, she says, "Okay, it's ready." You come running out. You say, "Man, it didn't take that long." But you know why it didn't take that long? Because you forgot about the problem. You just stay with mama. Didn't you? Mama's taking care of it. Jesus is taking care of it. Jesus is taking care of it. I said, Jesus is taking care of it. He is bringing that healing. He's bringing that deliverance. He's bringing that breakthrough. That financial breakthrough. I said that breakthrough is coming. Oh, you gospel entrepreneurs. That breakthrough is coming. For your children, for your marriage, it's coming. Just, "Mama, I'm going to stay with you. Jesus, I'm going to stay with you." And all of a sudden, come on now. The table said, "Come on." When you get there, you say, "My God, I'm glad I waited. Ooh, it's so good." You eat, you dick the plate and you lick it. "Oh, my God, that was good. Mama, can I have some more?" I know you guys never lick plates in your home, but I did. Hallelujah. 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 I know what I'm talking about. My wife caught one preacher. Remember? You remember the preacher? She came to our home and he ate the food and he just licked the plate. She was like, "Man, the food was good." It's a preacher. Pastor Brown, it wasn't you. I want you to know it wasn't Pastor Brown. It wasn't your pastor. The guy licked the plate. A and left. I tell you, I want you to know your high priest would never. Church, can we learn this? Can we go there? Your high priest will never let you down. The enemy will stand here and say, you see, the word of God is not working. It's not working. Don't listen to the pastor. He don't know what you're feeling. Those people don't know what they're talking. They're just a bunch of religious people. Don't pay them no mind. Don't do this. Go here. Go there. Go do this. Go. Just don't listen. That's what they will be saying. That's what the enemy is born. You must remember who he is. He's a liar. From the beginning, he's a liar. The Bible says he was a murderer also. There's no truth found on the inside of him. His pain is a lie. Why is it a lie? Because it's in the wrong place. It belongs over there. The disease is a lie. Because what? It's in the wrong place. It belongs over there. Are you with me, church? That cancer is a lie. Because what? It's in the wrong place. It's been translated. It's in the wrong place. He's the father of all lies. The symptoms. It's a lie. Well, I have the physical proof. It is still a lie because it's in the wrong place. You must know. Come on, church. You must know that it is a lie because it's in the wrong place. You write 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. You don't write 1, 4, 2, 3. It's wrong. That's a lie. Come on, church. Well, all the numbers are there, but it's still a lie. Because it's not in the right place. It's in the wrong place. That pain that's on your body is in the wrong place. You must know, and you must know to tell him that it's in the wrong place. It's a lie. Let's look at one scripture. John chapter 8, 44. Are you having a good time? John 8, 44. In 8 and 44, the Bible says, listen to how Jesus talked to this guy. He says here, ye are your father. Ye are of your fathers. The devil. Now you must pay attention, because when Jesus and the Father begin to speak to people like that, he's really talking to the person behind that person. Are you with me? Trying to identify that person. So you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and what? The father of it. That means he birthed the lie. To be a father who's made a lie, to be a father who means you have children. Come on, church. That means to say the things that are in, that are coming across, those are his children. The sickness, the disease. Are you with me, church? Those are his. He birthed them. They need to go back to him. They need to go back to him. But the moment you agree with him, you give him visitation rights. You know, you know what I'm talking about. If there's a separation between husband and wife, somebody got to give you visitation rights by the court or something. But the moment you begin to agree with him, you say, you see, they agree with me. I can go live there in that house there. I can cause some schizophrenic operation and say, yeah, you got multiple personalities or dual personalities. And you know what it means? That means two devils stepped in. And they're both having a conversation. One having a conversation with the other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we need to talk about, the wrong confession. That's wrong confession. We can't afford to have that wrong confession going in. The moment you agree with the devil, in the subconscious, you're telling God, I don't believe you can do this for me. And because you agree with the enemy, you agree with the pain, and you agree with this, and you say, subconsciously you tell God, you can't do this for me, and automatically you cancel his authority. You cancel the power that was ascribed to him, and you diverted it from him, and you give it to the devil. Now the devil now has the stronghold, he has the footing, he has the access, he has the, what you call, visitation rights on your life. And when he comes, he's not coming just to visit you. He wants to kill you. Wrong confession. It's full of fear. All that kind of stuff. By his stripes. Say, by his stripes. By his stripes. I'm healed. That's right. You know, it's like a check. Jesus came and put in your hand. Say, anytime you need it, just endorse this check. This is by his stripes, Mr. Devil. That package you tried to deliver, I give it back to you. You know how it is? You go down to and the post office come and they miss you. They leave a slip. Huh? And you get the slip. You say, oh, they delivered a package to you. You go down to the post office. You give them the slip. And you do what you do? You pick up the package, right? That's what the devil's trying to do. He give you a slip called a symptom. And when you cash it in, you get the disease. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what the devil, you know what, I went to that doctor, he says, you had a heart attack. You try to give me a slip. He tried to give me a slip. No way. Not over here. No evil should come nigh my dwelling. Are you with me, church? Because I have a check. And the check says, by his stripes, I can endorse that check anytime. I'm healed. Here it is, devil. I've been paid for. Here's my check to prove it. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm delivered. I prosper. I have protection by his stripes. Don't take his slips. Come on now. I said, don't take his slips from him. Hallelujah. Yes. Don't take his slips, church. Because you're going to come home one day and you're going to meet a slip in the mailbox. You know what you do on it? You put... All right. Hey! Come on. Tell us one more time. Tell us again.
R-E-T-U-R-N.
That's good. R-E-T-U-R-N. What do you tell him? When you write on the slip? R-E-T-U-R-N. That's right. Yes. R-E-T-U-R-N. Return. That's right. Let's take a look at a scripture here. We're coming in for a closing. Hallelujah. LaRue says that means absolutely nothing. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Isn't that true? You agree? So you can return, you can write on that slip, right? R-E-T-U-R-N. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So what was this curse? Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28 for a minute. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's start at the 20th verse. We're going to jump a little bit. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to jump around. Is that okay? I know you guys read your Bible at home. Deuteronomy 28, we start at 20th verse. The Bible says in the 20th verse here, the Lord sent upon thee cursing and vexation and rebuke and all that set of thine hands unto to do it until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of thy wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou forsaken me. This is all done because of disobedience to God's law. That includes you, it includes me. Anytime there's disobedience, rebellion to God's law, because Jesus became the curse for us. He took it away, church. Amen? He took it away. I want you to know that he took it away. We're not trying to put it on you. He took it away. We're trying to say he took it away. But here, God is saying to those people that were disobedient, because they're disobedient, they began to go in the wrong way. He says, these things are going to affect you. Let's look at verse 21. You look at verse 21. And the Lord shall make the pestilence. I want you to say pestilence. Cleave unto thee until thou be consumed. Verse 22. And the Lord shall smite thee with consumption. That's cough or TB, fever, inflammation, extreme burning with the sword. He goes on. Let's look at verse 28. The Bible says, and the Lord shall smite thee with madness. That when you get confusion, all those what you call schizophrenic operation, blindness, astonishment of heart, or what you call heart attack. Are you there?
Look at verse 35. And the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs, and sore boils, and you cannot be healed from the sole of the feet to the top of your head. Look at that kind of stuff. Look at verse 44. And he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend. And he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him.
That means your money. Something wrong with your money. It's reverse. He's going to afflict your money. Somebody be lending to you. You never get the chance to lend to other people. That's the problem with that. Isn't that so? Okay, let's look at verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake you.
Look at verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all of these things. Let's drop down. So you say, well, I don't. What
I'm going through is not here. So I'm free. Look at verse 60.
Moreover, he shall bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt. Moreover, he shall bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And look at 61. And every sickness, I want you to say every sickness, every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, then will the law bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Why? That is the curse that Christ paid for. It hasn't, the disease doesn't have a name yet, but he paid for it already. Are you with me, church? They don't have a new, they don't even have a name for it yet. It hasn't even shown up yet. But Christ paid for it already. That's what Galatians say. Isn't that what it says? He said he's already paid for that. So there's nothing he can send your way because he said, well, it wasn't there. He says, every disease, every plague that has not even been mentioned yet. Look at verse 61 again. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, it has not even come to pass yet. He says, Christ paid for that, church. That's how good he took care of you and I. That's what he wants you to know. You must know it in your knower that this too, H1N1, is not yours. Amen. It's not your portion. Right. When you want to deliver it, return back to sender. But you must let him know that you know. You can't get weary. You can't say, I'll do it tomorrow. Listen, one day, I went to the house and something happened to the garage door, and I pulled the garage door. When I pulled the garage door, my finger got stuck in the thing. My God. And I said, Jesus! And I pulled that thing out. And I went, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just pain go from me. I just went, Jesus. I was just screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I look at my hands, it's all fine. Now, you know that guy. You know that guy who was downstairs. You know what he did? He slammed his finger on the door. You should see what happened to his finger. It swole up, began to get infected, and pus all began to get in it. And I looked at it. I said, I had a bigger crush on my finger. And it wasn't broken. It was, the skin wasn't even broken. But this man slammed his finger. And it swells up. My finger never swelled up. His finger swells up. And then the odor begins to come on it. And that, the moment it happened, I was screaming, Jesus, 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 Jesus! I was screaming it. And I was just holding my hand, Jesus, Jesus. And when I released my hand, I had totally no pain. It wasn't my portion. It's not yours. But the moment I said, oh, my finger, oh, look at it, it's hurting me. You know what happened? The devil said, I got him. I've delivered that package. It is in place. The eagle has landed. Hallelujah. You know exactly what I'm talking about, church. Come on, church. It takes only a moment. How long is that moment? A split second? 2 seconds? 5 seconds? How long does it take for the enemy to deliver the package? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You driving a car, you must know how to drive the car. You must know exactly what the enemy is trying to do in your life. You must know exactly how he's trying to slide it in. Jesus. That's the curse. Even that has not yet been written. That doesn't have a name yet. It's not yours. He paid for it. I say he paid for it. Let's take a look at it. Matthew 8 and 17. He paid for it. In Matthew 8, 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself. I want you to say himself. Took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took it. You have been bought. The ring was paid for. It's over. You've been bought. Been paid for. There's no more. That man who had the ring
can put another charge on the man who now owns the rain. Come on, church. It is over. It is free. But the words that come from your mouth can never again agree with that man who had the rain locked up, who had you in prison. It can't. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, stand fast, therefore. It says stand fast, right? He didn't say stand slow, did he? Come on, church. Don't be slow to send that package back. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So therefore, when you get up, tell the devil every day that you are free. And he has been lying to you. And you know it. And there's nothing he can do about it. The moment he knows that you know it, you can convince him. He has to obey you, in other words. The moment he knows that you know what you're supposed to know, that you are his master, he has to obey you. Because Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ has defeated him, didn't he? Now, Christ in you is the same Christ who defeated him, right? So Christ in you has defeated him. Therefore, in you, you are also has become his master. But many of us, church, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's take a quick look at this. In verse 4, it says now, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. Believe not. If you believe not, you're in trouble. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Endorse your check as much as you can. Speak it every day. This sickness that you tried to put on me was carried on the cross, Mr. Devil. It was paid for on Calvary, Mr. Devil. There where it belongs. You cannot put this on me. I command you in the name of Jesus to take you and your package and go and get out of here in the name of Jesus. Leave my body. Leave my daughter. Leave my son. Leave my husband. Leave my finances. Leave my car. Leave my home. Leave my business. Leave my church. Leave my pastor. Leave my pastor's wife. Leave my dog. Leave my cat. Leave everything, because everything you've spoken is a lie. Hallelujah. That's our word, church. What are we confessing? What are we confessing? What are we confessing? That's our word. So that's our word, church. That's our word. That's our word. What are we confessing? We know what Christ did for us. We know who we are in Him. We know the promises. And this finished work inside of us, we can have what God says we can have. We can do what God says we can do. We can act the way He says we can act. We can walk in and walk out of those circumstances and situations in victory. Because as we go, He says, as you go, heal the sick. As you go, heal the sick. As you go, heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely receive. Freely give. As you go. Let the word just be all over you as you go. Let the word constantly be all over you. In your car, in your house, just speak the word. Let it be all over you as you go. Let the atmosphere be around you be totally different. As you go. As you go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. 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 This was a different kind of service tonight. Huh? It was a different kind of service tonight. It was like it's like going over the mountain, you know, coming down on the other side. Amen? Amen. Yesterday we're on the days before on this side of the mountain. Today we're on this side of the mountain. Isn't that something? Haven't they settled in? Come on now. Didn't they come in? Hasn't the Lord deposited something? Hasn't He settled it down? Don't we have it? We have to run with it. That's what I'm talking about. We're on the other side of it now. That means every one of you now should be coming to Pastor Bron Christ and say, listen, I have a trophy here. You want to hear about this? Let me tell you what happened in the parking lot. I want to tell you what happened in the parking lot. I was there. My name is Christ. And when I walked in, the atmosphere has changed. Hallelujah. Huh? The atmosphere changed. When I left, there was a smile on the face. When I left, there was victory. When I left, they were feeling much better. When I left, they were singing a song. When I left, they were dancing. When I left, they were out of the wheelchair. When I left, the baby was speaking, was saying, hello, mama, or whatever the baby said. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I say in the name of Jesus. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you just worship God a little bit? Hallelujah.